Chapter 8. Lexi kept her eye on the rearview mirror, looking for a red Mustang as she drove to Nan's apartment the next morning. Pulling into the parking lot, she felt silly. Surely Violet wouldn't follow her everywhere. And even if she did, what did Lexi care? She wasn't afraid of an old lady. Her phone chirped, and she looked down. Her mother. Lexi debated not answering, because she was in a hurry to meet with Nan's and the ladies. But guilt took over, and she pressed the green button. Hi, Mom. Lexi, is that you? Vera Baker's voice blasted out of the phone at its usual high volume, causing Lexi to hold the phone 6 inches away from her ear. Yes, Mom. How are you? Oh, good, dear. What about you? Is Jack treating you okay? Yes, he is, Mom. Where are you guys now? Lexi had given up on trying to keep track of her nomadic parents, who were traveling across North America in a haphazard manner. 1 week, they could be in Nevada, then the next week, Florida, then the next, Canada. There seemed to be no rhyme or reason to it. But Lexi figured, if they were having a good time, then who was she to question it? We're in the desert of Maine. There's a desert there? Lexi cradled the phone between her ear and shoulder while she reached for the bakery box on the passenger seat. Then she got out of the car and started across the parking lot. Vera sighed. You never heard of it. It used to be 300 acres, but now it's about 45. You had better hurry if you want to see it, though. They say it will be gone in 50 years. Lexi frowned at the phone. She'd never heard of any disappearing desert. Gone? Where would it go? The forest is reclaiming it, Vera said in an exasperated tone. Lexi could hear clinking and muttering in the background as she opened the glass door and slipped into the lobby. What's that noise in the background? Oh, it's just your father. What's he doing? Oh, he's just tinkering with the RV. Tinkering? Lexi felt a wave of uneasiness wash over her. Is something wrong with it? Silence. Mom? It's just a little minor problem, Lexi. Nothing to worry about. Are you sure I could send you some money? Don't be silly. We don't need money. Your father's calling for me. I gotta go. Okay, Mom. Say hi to Dad, and you guys take care. You too. Say hi to Mona for us. Vera hung up, and Lexi found herself standing outside Nan's door, frowning down at her phone. Was something wrong with the RV? Nan's had mentioned they'd been having trouble. Her gut twisted. Even though she'd offered to send her parents money, she'd been glad her mother had refused, because she really didn't have any extra. She'd sunk every last dime into renovations at the bakery and was counting on the sale of Jack's house to replenish some of those funds and pay her parents back. She raised her fist and knocked sharply on Nan's door. She really needed to kick this investigation into high gear, not only so she could clear Jack from the suspect list, but also so she could get the house sold and the money to help her parents. Lexi, come in. Nan's opened the door, and the smell of fresh brewed coffee floated out into the hallway. Ruth, Ida, and Helen waved at Lexi from their seats around Nan's mahogany dining room table as she crossed the small foyer, then put the box in the center of the table. Coffee? Nan's asked from the small kitchen adjacent to the dining room. Yes, please. Lexi had rushed out of the house without her morning cup and had been too busy checking her rearview mirror on the ride over to stop for coffee. She was practically comatose with lack of caffeine. Ruth pulled out a chair and gestured for Lexi to sit while Nan shoved a mug in her hand. Lexi sipped the steaming brew gratefully. What did you bring? Ida lifted the lid of the bakery box enthusiastically, her smile fading as she looked inside. Don't you have any scones? Lexi narrowed her eyes. No. Why? What's wrong with the cookies? The ladies exchanged a look. Ruth cleared her throat. Helen looked down at the floor. Nance got up and made herself busy in the kitchen. What? Lexi repeated. Well, the meringues aren't bad, Ida said. But, Lexi drew the word out. They just need more sugar, Ruth shrugged. I'm sure they'd be perfect if they were just a bit sweeter. Well, this is a new batch with more sugar than the last batch. Oh? Ida raised her brows, and the ladies all reached in and pulled out a cookie. Lexi watched as Ida bit into hers and made a face. Better try again, dear. Still needs more sweetener if you want to beat Violet. Lexi's spirits sank. More? I've upped the recipe twice now. Ida glanced at the others and they nodded. Sorry, but it's better we tell you now so you can adjust, Ruth said. Yep, you know Violet won't make any mistakes with her meringue, Helen added. Speaking of Violet, does she have a red Mustang convertible? Lexi asked. Yes, I believe she does. Helen folded the half-eaten meringue cookie up in her napkin. Ida nodded. She won it in a slots tournament down at Foxwoods. Sheesh, is there nothing this woman doesn't win? Lexi asked. Ida, Ruth, and Helen shrugged. Not that we know of, Ruth said. What about you, Mona? What? Nans looked in from the kitchen, a yellow gingham dish towel in her hand. Violet Switzer, have you ever seen her lose anything? Switzer, Nans scrunched up her face. I'm not sure I know her. Sure you do, Ruth said. The one Ida is always complaining about. Oh, right. I don't know anything about her losing anything. Nan sat down at the head of the table. Why are we talking about her?
Yeah, good question, Helen said. We should be talking about the mummy case.
Yes, let's get back to business, Ruth added. What's the plan? They looked at Nan's, who shrugged. Sorry, I don't really have one. I'm a bit out of the loop.
Right, Ida took over. Here's what we'll do. Mona, you and Lexi are going to talk to the McDonald's. Find out if the basement was bare blocks or had that cement stucco on it. Then maybe we'll know if O'Keefe was lying to us or not.
Helen and I will use our resources to see if there was any funny financial business going on with O'Keefe, Ruth said.
Very good. Ida nodded. Time is of the essence, so we'll double up. Let's meet back here and figure out where to go after that.
Sounds like a plan. Ruth stuck her fist out for a knuckle tap, and the others did the same. Then Lexi and Nans pushed back their chairs and started for the door. Lexi opened the door and was just about to step out into the hall when she remembered something important. She turned to look at Ruth, Ida, and Helen, who were still seated at Nan's table. What about the cookies? The three women looked at each other, and Ida made a face.
Sorry, dear. They still need more sugar.
Out in the hallway, Nan slowed to a crawl. She slipped on her crystal-studded fuchsia reading glasses and rummaged in her purse.
Why don't you go ahead and get the car? I need to make a quick call.
Lexi sensed Nans didn't want her listening in. Was she calling the mysterious boyfriend? Lexi couldn't help but smile. Okay, I'll meet you up front. Nans came out of the lobby doors just as Lexi pulled the car up, and they headed off in the direction of the McDonald's senior living facility. Lexi was bursting with curiosity about this boyfriend that was causing Nans to act so secretive.
Is there something you want to tell me? Lexi asked.
Nans stiffened in her seat,
turning startled eyes on Lexi.
No. What do you mean?
Lexi shrugged. I heard you met a nice man.
Oh.
Nan's relaxed back into her seat, a smile curling her lips as she stared out the window.
Well, that's not anything I want to talk about right now.
Oh, sorry. Lexi grimaced. She was dying to know about him, but didn't want to invade Nan's privacy. Luckily, they'd reached the senior living facility, and Lexi could change the subject. Have you been here? The place is pretty nice, Lexi said as they walked to the building together.
Yes, I visited them a few times.
Nance held the door for Lexi, then proceeded in the direction of the McDonald's apartment. Do you visit them often? Lexi asked. Nance shrugged.
Not too often, but we still keep in touch a bit. All the old neighbors are still quite close.
Oh, that's nice, Lexi said. When I talked to them, they seemed a little, forgetful.
Well, that comes with the age. I visited them here not that long ago, and they seemed right as rain,
Nan said as she rapped on the door. The door opened almost immediately, and Lois's face peered out, her eyebrows shooting up when she saw them.
Why, Mona, what a surprise! We haven't seen you in ages.
Nan's frowned.
I was here the other day, Lois, remember?
Oh, yes, of course. How silly of me. Time does get away from you at my age.
She opened the door and gestured them in.
Hi, ladies, Charles said from the recliner. You'll pardon me if I don't get up. My hip is acting up today.
Of course, Lexi said as she and Nance took seats on the couch. Lois pulled the chair in from the kitchen and perched on the edge.
To what do we owe this pleasure?
Nance nodded at Lexi, who said, I had some questions about the basement in Jack's house, your old house, again.
Oh, right. Terrible thing with that body and all.
Lois clutched at Charlie's arm.
Do they know how it got there? Or when? Was it in our basement the whole time we lived there?
They're not sure yet, Lexi said. But we were wondering about the basement walls. The room was made by building a false wall and covering it with a cement coating. The builder said that the cinder blocks were exposed when he sold it to you. He said all the houses were that way. Lois's eyes slid toward Nan's and then Charlie.
Well, I don't know if I remember. It was so long ago.
I checked my basement and its cinder block, Lexi said.
Oh, no, we always kept it locked, Lois said. No one could get in.
No, Lexi raised her voice a few decibels. I said cinder block.
Yes, I think they are made of cinder block, Charlie said. Unless you refinish them and they put some stucco cement coating on it to pretty it up.
But was yours cinder block when you moved in? Lexi asked.
I'm not sure.
Charlie tapped the side of his head.
My memory isn't as good as it used to be. Do you remember, Mona?
I remember looking at it after you started the remodel, and the walls were stucco. But I'm not sure if it was that way before, Nan said.
Lois's brows furrowed, causing wrinkles in her wrinkles. She looked at Lexi.
Why is this so important?
The builder claims the basement was raw cinder blocks when he sold it to you. I was thinking if you remembered that it was stucco when you moved in, it would prove he was lying and make him a suspect.
Oh, dear.
Lois looked at Nance.
Well, I wouldn't want to point the finger at someone who might be innocent if I wasn't sure.
Did the police pinpoint the time of death to a date before we bought the house?
I haven't heard anything about an exact date yet, Lexi said. But it must have happened before you moved in. Otherwise, surely you would have noticed.
Yes, of course, Lois said.
Well, I'm sorry if we can't be much help. Our memories are not so good. And I feel just terrible this has happened in our old house. And now you and George have to deal with it.
Jack, Lexi said, did you say track?
I don't know if you're on the right track.
Lois stood up.
If you could pinpoint the time frame that person was killed, we might be able to help. It seems there was a stranger around the neighborhood, and I wonder if he would have had something to do with it.
You mentioned that before, but I don't see how it could be relevant to this case. Lexi followed Lois to the door.
Now, don't be too hasty, dear, Nan said. We need to consider every angle.
Lexi doubted that would be the case. How could a stranger possibly have made a secret room and put a body in the basement without the McDonald's knowing? They said their goodbyes, and Lexi and Nan's headed to the car. Nan seemed more interested in getting back to the retirement center in a hurry than she was in talking about the case, so the ride back was quiet. By the time Lexi dropped her off and headed back to the bakery, she was feeling a little down in the dumps. Not only was Nan's lack of interest in the case disappointing, their trip to the McDonald's hadn't given her any useful information. So she still had nothing concrete with which to nail Tom O'Keefe. She could only hope that her next stop would be more informative.